The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello, welcome back to The Punt. Big week of European football coming up this week with Champions League matches on both Tuesday and Wednesday and more action from the Europa League on Thursday. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Lee Phelps. Hi, Lee.
I'm good, thank you. I'm quite chipper, actually.
Yeah?
Had a good weekend. Nap landed from The Punt, so that's good.
Yeah.
Second one of the season. So, you know, I'm taking everything I can get at the minute.
Yeah. Enjoy it while it lasts, mate.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. Just a quick look back at the weekend before we move on to this week's action. And no real change in the Premier League. I mean, Chelsea still running away with it already. Man City, they're winning ugly or just taking ages to get into games and then finally deciding that they're going to get some out of a game. And Man United, I suppose, positives for them. They won a game without conceding many goals. What did you make of it, Ollie?
Yeah, pretty much as you were, I suppose, wasn't it? I mean, the City game, looking a little bit more deeply into it, there were two daft goals. Mangala had an absolute disaster, gave away a penalty, and it was at fault for the other one as well. So, I mean, I suppose, you know, they would point to that being, you know, two daft goals and they scored four themselves, so it's not bad, is it? Chelsea just keep going, like you say. It's interesting, you know, for the last 2 weeks now, we've talked about this Chelsea to go unbeaten bet. It still hasn't changed price. They've beaten Man City, and obviously Villa aren't going to change the price too much, but it's like they're just left out there. I'm imagining we'll get to January and it'll still be 16-1. It's just left gathering dust in the corner somewhere. It won't, obviously.
Gets the penultimate week of the season. So, oh, I've left the 16s out.
But, I mean, in all seriousness, this next kind of 3 weeks is when that bet will either be something that you're getting really confident about or not, because we've said this a few times, but after each of the group matches for Chelsea, they've got a very tough game, a really tough run of fixtures. Started with coming back from the game against the team who I've forgotten.
Schalke,
thank you. And playing City. After this game, this midweek, which we're going to preview against Sporting, they've got Arsenal at home. Then they go, they're at home to Maribor, and they go to Old Trafford, the Premier League weekend after that. And then they play Maribor away, and they've got Liverpool away after that. So it's a real tough run. It's only till the Schalke game. So, you know, if you get into the 29th of November and they're still unbeaten, then it won't be 16-1 anymore, I would suggest. So, tough run for Chelsea. But, I mean, you know, they're doing nothing wrong, are they? They've got goals all over the team. Costa's obviously still scoring goals. I suppose it's more, probably the more interesting market is the top four market, isn't it? Because that seems to be wide open. Chelsea, Man City are both very, very short. Arsenal 1-3, Man United 8-15, Liverpool 5-4, Tottenham 4-1, Everton 8-1. I'm not sure I'd have Arsenal 1-3. I know they always do it, but I'm not sure I'd have them there.
Still unbeaten this season.
Yeah, but not really doing an awful lot, and they're losing players so much again. Injury problems every season at Arsenal has to be a worry. Lost two more players at the weekend, of course. I'd have to back Liverpool in that market, given all the prices. You know, 8-15 Man U is a bit short for me, not knowing what we're going to get from them throughout the season. You'd expect they would improve. But Liverpool 5-4, don't mind that.
They just need to... the signs against Everton were encouraging. They did play better this weekend.
Yeah, he seems to have stopped the rot at least, doesn't he?
Yeah. And they were just a last-minute screamer that stopped them taking all three points. So.
Great goal.
It was a great goal, wasn't it?
Just a quick look at the bottom half of the table. Obviously, Burnley had a nightmare, losing 4-0 to West Brom. They're 4-11 to go down now. QPR even money. Palace 2-1 after a good win. West Brom 9-4 after their win. Hull 7-2. Newcastle playing tonight as we record this, 7-2. Sunderland 7-2 as well. Leicester 9-2. Villa 5-1. West Ham 11-2, and you get double figures after that. I mean, God knows, but you know, Burnley are going to go down because they can't score the goals.
That changes when they get their injured. I mean, they
will it be too far gone by then, though?
I don't know. That's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, and you wonder if you're talking about Danny Ings and Sam Vokes, who were they scored so many goals last season in the Championship to get them up. You always wonder if they haven't started a Premier League season, haven't had the pre-season, or they've had a disjointed start to the season, will they ever gain enough fitness to really excel against Premier League defenders? I don't think so, and Jutkovic clearly isn't good enough.
No.
So I think I'd love Burnley to stay up, because I think they, I love the manager, I think he's great, but nah, they're gone.
Okay.
Already.
I'm still going to take a watching brief on that. Okay. I don't think it's a good 4-11 shot. I don't think they've played badly.
I'm not saying I'd back it.
No.
It's too short for me. But yeah, they've gone. I mean, the other way of doing it, I suppose, would be to have a look at the team to finish rock bottom of the table. They're even money to finish bottom. Not that keen on that. Mm. They'll battle all season, won't they? You never know.
Do we have a price on them to stay up?
Yes, we will have a price on them to stay up. It is priced up at 2-1. 2-1? Not big enough either.
Big enough
there's no price there that you take about Burnley. They've got everything.
What price are Southampton to stay up?
they're not. No quote.
No,
they will.
They will.
About
yeah.
1-50.
Yeah, it was a joke.
Yeah, good one.
Shall we move on?
Yes.
Right. This week we have Champions League action returning, and we'll start with the matches on Tuesday because that makes most sense.
Yeah. I like chronological.
Yes, it does.
Ordering.
It's the best kind of ordering. Mm-hmm. What's the opposite of chronological, by the way?
Oh.
Anti-chronological.
I don't know.
Achronological.
I don't mean to be pedantic, but is it the best or is alphabetical the best, do you think? In general, no, I'm not talking about football, I'm talking in general.
No, chronological beats alphabetical every time.
Really?
Yeah. Because if you've got a team beginning with A, but they don't play till Sunday.
Oh, we're talking about sport in particular, well, not in general.
What else could be chronological?
CD collection.
What? Yeah, I suppose.
Alphabetical's better, isn't it?
I suppose.
CDs.
Yeah, you'd have to go years back for your Dolly Parton CDs, wouldn't you?
Yeah, imagine ordering them in chronological order. It's not a bad idea, though, actually.
It's a terrible idea.
I like it now. I'm going to go home and do that.
Well, you could, yeah, I suppose.
All I need now is a CD player.
Order them in decades, and
yeah.
It'd be interesting.
Anyway.
Football, that's why we're here. Tuesday, we'll start with Man City against Roma. Man City are 7-10. The draw is 5-2. Roma are 9-2. And Man City, they needed to start winning a couple of weeks ago. They were not getting beaten, but they weren't winning games. Since then, since we said this on the punt a couple of weeks ago, they've beaten Sheffield Wednesday 7-0. 4-2 win over Hull. And they came close to getting something at Bayern, which, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So they seem to have turned the corner slightly. Roma don't need to turn a corner because they're flying. They've won all six competitive games this season. They beat CSKA 5-1 in their opening Champions League match. I ask you, Lee Phelps, is 9-2 too big?
It does look an attractive price, I'll give you that. But you also have to look at what Roma have been up against. And the answer to that is very little.
Yeah.
The five wins in Serie A so far are against Fiorentina, who aren't the team that we know from years gone by. Empoli away. They beat CSKA Moscow 5-1 in the first game week of the Champions League. CSKA Moscow were dreadful, Mark. I think I showed you some of the highlights of that match last week, and it was laughable what happened to them. The defending was just daft. And the striker fell over himself, didn't he, as he was running through one-on-one with the keeper. Since then, they've beaten Cagliari 2-0. They went to Parma and won 2-1. A very late goal from Panic won that game for them. Parma, you know, they're right down near the bottom. 15th they were when they played that game, and they've just beaten Verona. Now, Verona are the highest-placed team they've beaten. They were fifth when they went into that game. But, you know, fifth in Serie A compared to second where Roma are, you still got about 7 points difference. So I don't think they've played anyone that's really going to test them, and obviously, you know, this is a major test for them with Man City away. So I'm not reading too much into Roma's fantastic start just yet. They'll be confident, but I think they're going to get a little bit of a rude awakening now they come up against some serious opposition.
Okay, that's a fair point. So do you side with City at 7-10?
Yes, I can't have the price, that's the problem. Yeah. I can't be backing City at 7-10 knowing what they've done in the previous Champions League campaigns. They've disappointed more often than not. I do think from the Bayern game, they're obviously setting up slightly different. They're obviously, we've seen them in the Premier League being slightly different. They're not quite as open, are they? A bit more solid. I think that the Chelsea home game is the best game we can look at because that's the closest we've had for them as a Champions League matchup, I think. And I thought they were very good in that game. I thought that was the start of the turn. You know, the Bayern Munich game, they were unlucky. I think they went into the Chelsea game and were a lot better. Went down to 10 men, of course, and still managed to get a draw out of it, despite the fact, you know, Chelsea set up this kind of roadblock in front of the goal, if you like, and they still broke through with 10 men, which I thought was pretty commendable for them. So I think they'll go. I think it'll be something similar to that. I think they'll set up strong, but they've got enough quality on the pitch to be able to score against Roma. What I really struggled to find any value in this game, if I'm being honest. And what I've come up with, I like Roma to score a goal. They have been scoring goals. They've got some really good players. There's a player called Mattia Destro, who they're raving about at the minute. He scored in the win over Verona. So I think Roma can get a goal in this game. I think Man City win. So the Man City to win and both teams to score is priced up. That was 11-5 last night, Mark. It's 9-4 now.
Yeah.
Which is still, if you look at Man City to win 7-10 and Roma to score a goal, which I think is 4-9, that 9-4 is still better value. So it's around the 6-4 mark, the actual double. So you're getting 9-4 for what is a 6-4 shot.
Yeah.
Because if City, I know the actual bet is City to win it doubled with both teams to score. But if City are going to win, they have to score goals.
Yeah.
Obviously. And you know, Roma just to score over 0.5 goals is 4-9. So I've kind of judged it like that, and I think that's fair enough. You know, if the traders think that, you know, Roma are 4-9 to score a goal, that'll do for me. It's a 9-4 match result and both teams to score decent.
Okay. When I was just, I mean, peruse of this before we came in here, Lee, Man City have been slow at starting this season.
Yeah.
Roma have scored late goals as we've seen in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I initially thought, well, maybe take a look at the second half to be high scoring, but then I thought, no, I don't want that. I want draw at half time and City to go on to win it, because they've done that a number of occasions this year.
Yeah.
100-30 didn't look too bad.
No, and I do think that. I know Roma have won every game so far, but if you're Roma and you're in charge of Roma, you want to come away from Manchester with a point minimum, don't you? I think they'll be like kind of 75% focused on getting a point, and if they get the win, obviously that's a massive bonus. So I can see why you do that. I don't think Roma will go into this set up as offensive as they have been so far. They've played a 4-3-3, but a very attacking 4-3-3. I think they might go with one up front and maybe just have, you know, pack the midfield with the ability to break on City if they need to. I think that's how they'll set up for this one. So I could see that. I could see why you're going for the draw at half time. I don't think it'll be quite as, you know, open as the bookies think it will be. And I think I don't think it's going to be an easy night for Man City at all, but they have to win this game. Put simply, just have to win it. And, you know, just going back to my bet on the both teams to score, City at home this season conceded to Liverpool, to Stoke, to Chelsea, and didn't concede to Sheffield Wednesday. But obviously, you know, we can't really compare a Championship team to a Champions League team. Roma's away form, only two games to go on, but they've scored in both of them. So, I'm pretty happy with that. And I like your bet as well.
Let's move on to the other game on Tuesday evening. Sporting Lisbon play host to Chelsea. Sporting Lisbon are 9-2, the draw 23-10. And Chelsea are 8-11. Sporting Lisbon unbeaten this season, 2 wins and 4 draws domestically. They drew their opening game in the Champions League as well with Maribor. They've lost only one game at home though since August 2013. They are a very good side at home. Chelsea remain unbeaten, as we know, top of the Premier League, cruising at the moment. Disappointing 1-1 draw with Schalke though in the first week of the Champions League. So how do you see this one going?
I'm not a massive fan of Sporting Lisbon, despite the fact they've had some good results, and despite the fact that you say they've got, you know, good home form and all the rest of it. They've got Nani scoring, a player called Carrillo as well, who's been scoring goals recently. But I'm not a huge fan of Portuguese football. I think it's overblown at times. They're only 7th in the Premier League as well. But I've got a little bit of an issue with Chelsea. All the way up to the first game, Mark, I was kind of saying, in a few previews that I did, I didn't think Chelsea were focusing on the Champions League. I thought they would focus on the Premier League. His team selection for that Schalke game made me believe in that even more. They've got these massive games every week. What's more of a priority to Jose Mourinho at the moment? I would say it's beating the teams, or not losing to the teams around him in the Premier League, as opposed to beating the likes of Sporting Lisbon in the Champions League. I think if you asked him and said which one, you're allowed to win one of these two competitions this season, which one would it be? It'd be the Premier League, personally.
Okay.
So I'm a bit concerned that he'll rest players. Diego Costa, he said after the last game that he can't play two games in a week. Don't know if that was a bit of kidology, but he's still suffering from this hamstring strain, and he looked a little bit off colour in the first half against Villa. Got his goal though. If they don't start with Costa, I think this could be a longer night than they're expecting. It's just how, you know, you'd have to see that Sporting Lisbon would go out and try and win this game, because they have to win games. You know, drawing against Maribor set them right back, I think. So if they leave gaps, it'll suit Chelsea just to sit back and try and exploit Sporting Lisbon. So I think Chelsea will get it done eventually because they can't afford to lose another game. And, you know, after they last year when they lost, they started with a bit of a stutter against, when they played Bar, didn't they? They lost 2-1 to Bar in their opening group game. Went to Steaua Bucharest, won 4-0. Went to Schalke and won 3-0. So they did then get the, you know, right, start to concentrate a bit more. So I'll go with Chelsea. But it's not as confident a shout as I kind of expected it to be honest with you. Sporting just don't score enough goals for me at home. They have loads of chances, but just don't really turn them into goals. They look like they've been struggling to break teams down. They've had a lot of draws in the domestic division. Did score 4 against Gil Vicente in the last away game. But then and drew with Porto at the weekend. So it's not bad form, is it, to be fair to them? But I could see Chelsea maybe sneaking it 2-1. But it's not a massively confident shout. I'm just not sure what Chelsea are up to. And if in this game they go weak and they don't put it all in again, I'm going to be opposing Chelsea in terms of going with the home team to, you know, the opposition to maybe be +1 or +2 on the handicaps. But that at the minute, it's no real value. You know, +1 for Lisbon is 11-10. I'm not even that confident that they get a draw out of it. Chelsea to win by a goal would be my bet here. I think you can't really get that pre-match, but the way to play it is to look at the match handicaps, and in the middle it says tie.
Yep.
Tie Sporting Lisbon plus a goal versus Chelsea minus a goal effectively is Chelsea to win by a single goal at 5-2.
Yeah.
So that's what I'd play.
Okay. Yeah, I quite like that. Anything else there, or should we move on to Wednesday?
Yeah, I'm just scratching my head a bit about it, to be honest with you. I'm not sure. There's nothing else that really strikes me without seeing the team news. If you're looking for a goal scorer, then, you know, we've mentioned a few of those, a few players. Andre Carrillo, who I mentioned, is scoring goals 4-1 anytime, which is decent. Nani is 7-2 anytime. So, Chelsea to win by a single goal.
Yeah, it is difficult without the team news for Chelsea because who knows what lineup he's going to play.
If he goes full strength, then the 8-11 looks a great price.
Yeah. Keep an eye on the team news there then. Moving on to Wednesday, and we'll start here with Basel, or Baal as you like to call them. I don't actually.
Basel, fine.
Yeah.
I've got no idea.
Against Liverpool. Basel 13-5, the draw is 23-10, and Liverpool are 11-10. Basel, top of the Swiss Super League, hammered by Real 5-1 in their opening Champions League match, though. They take on Liverpool, are 12th in the Premier League. They drew 1-1 at the weekend in the Merseyside derby. We've talked about that, and they're fortunate to beat Ludogorets at Anfield in their opening Champions League match. So we've mentioned on a number of occasions this year that Liverpool are struggling to come to terms with playing in the Champions League and trying to mount a domestic challenge as well. Yeah. So how do you see this going? I mean, Basel's not the easiest place to go.
No, not at all. And I was looking at some forums last night, Liverpool fans calling for the big hitters to be rested in this.
Right.
Just saying it's a, you know, for the fans, it's like a, it's a, you know, a bit of an added extra. They'd rather do well in the Premier League. You know, calling for the likes of Henderson and Gerrard and Sterling to be rested. I can't see the manager doing that. You know, as a manager, surely he wants to go and shine on the biggest stage. And you're right. I mean, it's patchy, isn't it, at best? I mean, if you look at the last few games for Liverpool, ever since that really good display at Tottenham when they won 3-0, which is still probably their best display of the season, they've lost to Villa. Like just squeaked past Ludogorets, lost to West Ham, only got past Middlesbrough on penalties, and drew with Everton. Now, the Everton game is probably the second best performance of the season so far. They were passing it about better, went to a 4-3-3 and looked much more comfortable under that system, much more crisp passing. I think this does play into their hands, though, Mark. You know, as you say, Basel are a good side, top of the table, scoring loads of goals. Did get a 1-1 draw with Thun, who are fourth in the Swiss Super League, but even that was a very late equaliser for Thun. They would have won that one 1-0, so probably count themselves a little unlucky. But Liverpool can sit in here and let Basel come onto them and hit them on the break, and Basel will come onto them. They're such an attacking team. I was looking through, you know, the stats on their games in the Swiss Super League, and it's amazing how many shots they have on goal. I mean, you know, quite common for them to have, you know, over 20 shots on goal in that division. So they're a very attacking team. I mean, even against Real Madrid, they had 13 shots on goal, yeah. 6 on target. You know, so it's, you know, they when they get forward, they're not shy to let fly with one. Scored in the first half against Real Madrid. We're already 4-0 down when they scored, but you know, they go for it. So I'm going to go with goal. I mean, I can't have the price. I mean, you know, Liverpool are too short a price for me in this game. We can't trust them, I don't think, at these sort of prices. So I'm going to go on a goals bet. And it's one that I had a bit of luck with the Man United game at the weekend. It's two ways of playing it. Either over 1.5 goals in the first half, which is kind of like your safety way in, I think. Or both teams to score in the first half. The both teams to score in the first half is 100-30, which I do really like. I think that's a nice price. Over 1.5 goals in the first half is at 13-8. The reason behind this is that when Liverpool are on song and playing away from home, they score goals for fun and early as well. They get right into teams. When you look at Basel's goals this season in all three competitions they've played in, that's the Swiss Cup, the league and in the Champions League, 17 of their 28 goals have been in the first half. Good enough for me.
Yeah.
Very attacking teams. Both teams will feel they have to win this game. You know, we're saying Liverpool need to get a result. Imagine what the Swiss press will be saying, exactly the same thing after being beaten by Real Madrid. If they were to beat Liverpool here, they've got a brilliant chance of qualifying Basel, because they know they'll be confident they can beat Ludogorets at home and away, and then all they have to do is go to Anfield and not get beat. You know, I say only, but you know, it could be a major plus for them if they win this. So Basel will come out and attack in this game. And Liverpool will counter them. So, yeah, I'll go with the both teams to score first half, 100-30. Bit bigger than the other one. But if you're a little less sure, then just the over 1.5 is a decent price as well.
Okay. Yeah, tricky one to call that.
Who do you think would win that? Because it's odds against. You might think, oh, it's okay. But
yeah,
can't be that confident.
It is a bit tempting. Liverpool at 11-10, if we see them play like they did against Spurs and signs of it against Everton, fair enough. But do they play the same team? I mean, can Gerrard play two games in a week to his maximum potential? Does Henderson want to be doing that as well? I mean, Coutinho started on the bench at the weekend. If he starts on Wednesday evening, he can have a big impact.
Yeah. There are still rumours that Sturridge may play.
Yeah.
I can't see him playing from the start.
Then again, if you see a team lineup with Sturridge in there and you've got the likes of Balotelli and Coutinho, there's goals. It's creativity, and 11-10 then looks big. But
I think it'll give him a lift. I think it would give him a lift if he played. But I can't really have that. If I only had the outrights to go on, or only had the match winning prices to go on, I'd probably have to go with the draw.
Yeah,
I guess.
And then on the flip side to what you were saying about Basel, if Liverpool go there tonight and win, they've almost qualified in terms of. Doesn't really matter what happens against Real then, because they're going to top the group. As long as they get a result against Basel in the return leg and you expect them to beat Ludogorets, they're there, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a key game. That's why I'd probably go for the draw.
Yeah.
I think they might cancel each other out.
The final game we're going to look at in the Champions League this week is Arsenal against Galatasaray. Arsenal are 8-15 here. The draw is 3-1 and Galatasaray are 11-2. Arsenal unbeaten in the league. We've mentioned that they probably don't win enough games, but they started solidly enough domestically. Awful against Dortmund though. They play Galatasaray, who a bit of a mixed bag for them as well. 1-2, drawn 2 and lost 1 domestically. They drew 1-1 with Anderlecht on the first week of the Champions League. Their away form's dropped right off as well. They've lost 3 of the last 4 away games this season, and also 5 without a win on the road in Europe if you look at their away form in the Champions League. So is this just going to be a case of Arsenal relatively solid at home, will get a result against a poor team travelling?
Yeah, maybe. I quite like Galatasaray. I've made a bit of money out of them in the past 2 or 3 years, but only through the goal scorers. I'll come on to them in a second. It's Arsenal are a funny team, aren't they? The League Cup defeat and the Borussia Dortmund defeat were poor in my eyes. You know, the Crystal Palace win in the Premier League on the opening day was fairly fortunate, or it wasn't that convincing, let's put it that way. The Villa game, obviously they were convincing, got into Villa, scored 3, and you know, that's that. Didn't think much of them against Tottenham, really. They were all right, but you know, it's a difficult game, so probably hard to gauge. They tend to do well against Turkish teams. They don't tend to struggle too often, and like you say, the Turkish teams don't travel particularly well. I think Arsenal will win it, but I think they'll concede. They've only kept one clean sheet at home this season. That was against Beşiktaş, and if you remember back to that game, they were lucky because right at the end, Beşiktaş had a brilliant chance through Demba Ba to put them out.
Yeah,
you know, basically. Yeah. So you know, I think that even that clean sheet was a little fortunate. We've seen how pedestrian the back line can look against Dortmund. I think Galatasaray will come here. They'll set up like in a 4-2-3-1. They'll look to hit Arsenal on the break. I can see Pandev playing just behind Yilmaz. Now, Yilmaz and Bulut are the two players who I've made money out of in recent years in the Champions League. They're always priced in a quite a nice price away from home. Now, Yilmaz has been clipped in a little bit. He's usually bigger than this. He's 23-10 to score at any time in this game. Now, Bulut's 14-5, but Bulut's been largely a substitute this season for Galatasaray. Yilmaz has been playing up front and been scoring goals. So I'm gonna go with Yilmaz to score, but Arsenal to win.
Right.
So if you go down to any time reversed win cast, Burak Yilmaz, Arsenal to win, 13-2.
Okay.
But if that's a bit too brave, just Yilmaz to score. Got a really good scoring record. He's when Drogba was there, he scored goals in the seasons before that, and he's already scoring this season as well. So if Bulut comes off the bench and you're betting him play, get on him, because he scores in the Champions League. Like, he won't score in the domestic league for ages, just loves the Champions League. Bulut, he's got a great name.
Yeah,
a goal scorer.
Yeah, Bulut header. If you want somewhere a bit safer, Arsenal to win and both teams score. I mean, you mentioned a goal scorer for Galatasaray, so you obviously fancy both teams to score.
Yeah.
23-10 is not the worst price I've ever seen on that.
No, that's all right. Yeah, I like that as well. It won't be easy for Arsenal. I don't think much is going to be easy for Arsenal in the next few weeks. You know, the injuries are, like I said before, they're starting to stack up, aren't they?
So unlucky with injuries, aren't they?
Is it unlucky, though? It's every single season, Mark. When you look down the list of injuries, Arsenal always seem to have the most. It can't be luck. Can't be down to bad luck.
What do you put it down to?
I don't know. Bad fitness, you know, the fitness maybe not up to scratch, or I don't know what it is. But it can't be the same every single year, can it? How do people just keep... You should answer this. Is it, do you warm up properly, Mark?
Probably not.
Yeah, you see. I'm not saying the Arsenal players don't warm up properly. I'm sure they do. But, I'm sure it is just a coincidence. But players, you know, who they need in the team always seem to be injured.
And that's always seems to be the thing that trips them up.
Yeah.
In summary then, what do you go with there?
Yeah, I like Arsenal to win the game. Don't mind the Arsenal to win and both teams to score. I'll go with Burak Yilmaz to score and Arsenal to win. A cheeky 11-2, was it?
13-2.
I'm doing myself out of a point of value. Yeah, 13-2. Mm. Yeah, I like that.
Fair enough. Good stuff. On to the Europa League then. That returns on Thursday evening. We have three clubs from the British Isles in action. We have Everton away at Krasnodar, Spurs at home to Besiktas, and Celtic play host to Dinamo Zagreb. We'll start with Everton's match. They're away to Krasnodar. The home side are 7-5. The draw is 9-4, and Everton are 2-1. Krasnodar have hit a bit of form, actually. Mm. They drew 1-1 with Lille in the Europa League. Since then, they've won three in a row domestically. They won 2 in the league and once in the cup. They take on Everton, who beat Wolfsburg impressively, beating them 4-1, but then subsequently lost to Palace. They lost to Swansea in the League Cup. They drew with Liverpool, in the Merseyside derby, which is again a step in the right direction, but they were outplayed largely in the second half.
Very defensive display, really, wasn't it? I mean, I don't mean it was like backs to the walls, but they set up with three solid midfielders and obviously were trying not to get beaten, and they succeeded thanks to Phil Jagielka's goal at the end. It was fantastic. They've got good home form in Europe as well, Krasnodar. First time they've been in Europa League, they've won 5-0, 3-0 and 3-0. Now, the first two were against teams that not many people will have heard of. Szolomai Kalev from Estonia, Diaskior, who are from Hungary, and 3-0 win over Real Sociedad.
Which stands out.
That's not bad, is it? At all. Now, the problem for them is, and it's a big shame, is that Jorginho was one of the goal scorers, also got himself sent off in that match, so he's banned for this game, which is a shame because he's scored a lot of goals already this season. Everton got Man U at the weekend, Mark, away from home, Sunday 12 o'clock.
Mm.
Thursday night, travelling to Russia, and you've got a 12 o'clock kickoff at Old Trafford on Sunday. Now, I know Man United aren't Man United of old, but still, seems harsh, doesn't it? When will they get home? I mean, kickoff at 5, they won't be clear of the ground till what, 8, 9?
Yeah.
They won't get home, you know, I don't know what Russia is in terms of distance, I'm guessing it's a 5, 6 hour flight. Friday, get back kind of early hours of Friday morning, nothing to do, you don't go into the game, going on Friday, maybe a bit of a team meet on Saturday. I wonder if they'll weaken down here a little bit, Everton. Or just try and do what they did at Liverpool and pack the midfield and just try and get away with a point. I'm going to take Krasnodar to win this, you know.
Ooh.
7-5.
Yeah.
I think they're strong. You know, they've got a the way because of you know the way the Russian league set up. They tend to play a lot of away games together because of the distances they have to travel, and then a lot of home games together. This is the first of four home games that they've got. This is the second of five home games that they've got. They've already played one. They beat Arsenal Tula 3-0 at the weekend. They've got Everton then. They've got a massive game against Zenit, by the way, on Saturday at 2 o'clock. So they've got a pretty good turn, pretty quick turnaround, but, you know, they're at home. Then they've got the Wolfsburg at home, and then they've got Terek Grozny. So they've got a nice run of five home games. So, yeah, I'm just going to go with them to sneak this one against Everton. Haven't seen, not sure about Everton. The Wolfsburg game was great, but still looked a little bit susceptible. Wolfsburg had a lot of chances in that game. If they give that many chances to Krasnodar, I think they could do well. And like I say, I wouldn't be surprised if they weakened down a bit against Krasnodar, because surely that Man U game's more important to them at this stage of the season anyway.
Well, yeah, I agree with that.
Wanderson's the other player, though. For if you're looking for goal scorers, I always like to cut out, you know, have a look at who's in form for them. And with Jorginho not there, Wanderson's probably the other one who's worth looking at in terms of any-time goal scorers. He's been in the goals. He scored against Arsenal Tula in that last game that I was just talking about. He's right at the top, 7-4 any-time, which is decent. Jorginho's still in the list there, but he is banned, I can assure you of that. So, Wanderson to score at 7-4 would be my other bet.
Okay. I'm just looking for something that's not an outright because it is a bit cloudy. Overs, unders on the goals. Over 2.5 is even money for a side that have scored plenty of goals recently. They scored three themselves. Well, if you look at the previous matches, it's landed in the last three. If you look at Everton's matches, it's landed in three of the last four. So
looks decent, that match. Yeah. I mean, I suppose Everton will go there. If Everton do what I think they'll do and go there and defend, that might be a problem.
Scupper it a little bit.
But you know, that doesn't mean that Krasnodar won't break them open. This is stepping into the unknown for a lot of these Everton players, remember? You know, I know a lot of them are international players, but it's different when you go in with a club. You don't get a full week ahead of you, you know, ahead of it and all the, you know, the preparation time you get at international level. This is quite different, you know, flying to Russia and back in the space of, like, you know, 48 hours effectively.
Yeah.
Tough one.
Tough tie for Everton, then. On to the next game we're going to look at, which is Tottenham against Besiktas. Spurs off the back of a 1-1 draw in the North London Derby. Their home form in Europe is pretty good. They've lost only one at White Hart Lane in Europe since 2011.
Yeah.
They take on Besiktas, who've only won twice away from home in Europe since 2011 as well. So in that same period, Besiktas away form has been terrible, where Spurs has been pretty good. Second in the Turkish Superliga with two wins and two draws. We saw them against Arsenal in the Champions League, and interestingly, under 2.5 goals as well has landed in all of their games this season. So is this going to be a tight one at White Hart Lane with that stat in mind?
I suppose so. Yeah, it's Tottenham are a funny European side, because, you know, you're never quite sure how they're approaching this. I mean, the team that went to play away at Partizan and got a 0-0 draw was Lloris, Vertonghen, Fazio, Norton, Davis, Lennon, Paulinho, Townsend, Stambouli, Bentaleb and Kane. That's not their strongest team, obviously. Soldado came on, Lamella came on, and Kapuei came on. So if that's what he's done going away, why would he change to play Besiktas at home? I think he might weaken down again. They've got Southampton at home at the weekend, obviously his former club.
Yeah.
So he'll be keen on getting one over. Southampton obviously are playing very well at the moment in the Premier League. Again, team news is always crucial in these kind of things, but I think they will weaken down Tottenham. I think Besiktas will do what, you know, what I think you were kind of alluding to there. I think they'll go away and think, we can, you know, let's go and get a draw here. They were knocked out, of course, by Arsenal. They lost 1-0, but, you know, think back only a few weeks, you have to think back to that game. And as we've already said in this podcast, they could have got something out of that. They're not a bad team. You know, they beat Manchester United at Old Trafford in 2009. I mean, it's a good result. You know, that they're a strong team. They're no mugs. They don't often get beaten by a lot. If they do get beat, Liverpool fans probably remember them getting smashed to bits 8-0 back in 2007 at Anfield. But since then, they've grown, and I think they're a decent side. Besiktas, I think under 2.5 goals is decent. I just don't know if 9-2 is not big enough for me on them. I'd want like 5 or 6-1 on Besiktas to back them, even in a kind of handicap. So I think I'll just go under 2.5 goals and be done with it, and try and swerve the outrights, not knowing the team news. But if Tottenham put out a full team, I think they'll beat them.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of a way in. Like, you can't really do both teams to score in the match result, because that rarely lands in Besiktas games.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, both teams score no, and under 2.5 goals is 11-8. But you kind of you're ruling yourself out of the 1-1 there, obviously.
Yeah.
Under 2.5 at 19-20 looks fair to me. You know, Arsenal don't. Tottenham don't go mad usually in the Europa League, and I think because Besiktas are a decent side, and I think they can defend and they can go away and get a result, and I think that's what they'll try and do.
Final game we're going to look at is Celtic against Dinamo Zagreb. Celtic are 11-10, the draw is 9-4, and Zagreb are 13-5. We've mentioned several times on the punt in recent weeks that Celtic are a hard team to figure out. But all of a sudden, they seem to have put some form together. 11-10 at home to Dinamo Zagreb, who are very much in form, by the way. They've won 9 of their last 11 games, and the other two were draws. So it's 11 games unbeaten and 9 wins in that time. What happens here, Lee?
Good question, because I mean, I didn't expect them to get anything at Salzburg, and they managed to score 2 goals, didn't they? Led twice and were pegged back twice by Salzburg, including our man Soriano, who scored, yes, if you remember back to that game, which was good. Now they're at home, obviously, you know, the home form is generally pretty good in Europe. Lost to Atletico Madrid in 2011, last time they were in Europa League, but hadn't lost the previous 5. Obviously, the Champions League, we know that the home form can be very good. It was let down by that Maribor result, but they do seem to be a different team now, as you say, don't they? But, you know, a few weeks on from that, or like a month, just over a month on from the Maribor game, they seem to be a more confident team.
Yeah.
I'm going for the draw again. I know it sounds like I'm sitting on the fence a little bit, but I don't trust Celtic, you know, enough to be backing them at 11-10. I'm not sure Dinamo Zagreb will have the ambition necessarily to go away. You know, they've got a pretty poor record in recent times. They did go to Petrolul Ploiești, who are a Romanian team, and win 3-1, which is a good result, obviously. But yeah, I'm not. A player called Kop scored twice there. So that'd be some good headlines if he manages to score. Yeah, the draw for me. I don't think Celtic have quite got enough, and I think Dinamo Zagreb might frustrate them. So 9-4 the draw, Celtic versus Dinamo Zagreb.
Okay, I might stick my neck out a little bit here.
Right.
I'm still not entirely convinced by Celtic.
You're gonna go for Dinamo?
I think 13-5 is a big price on a team that are so much in form at the moment.
Mm, yeah. Very confident as well. You know, the one thing to look at, I think, you know, the people who don't watch European football or maybe don't watch some of the lesser leagues in Europe, you can't beat confidence, Mark, can you? You know, it's like a lower league team in England playing a Premier League team. If you're top of the table and you're confident, like Middlesbrough were against Liverpool,
yeah,
you know, you can go, and Forest were against Tottenham to a certain extent, you can go and have a go. So, you know, Dinamo Zagreb won't be, they won't be, you know, overawed going to Celtic, I don't think, because you could argue that the Croatian top division is better than the Scottish top division.
Yeah.
Hajduk Split, Rijeka, would they be? I think they'd be above Hamilton Academicals. You know, no disrespect, but I think it's a better division. And like you say, you know, 26 points from 10 games, a plus 16 goal difference.
Pretty impressive.
Flying, yeah, they're doing really well. So, but I'm just going to trust Celtic have improved enough to hold Dinamo Zagreb, and I'm not sure how. Adventurous they would be at the minute. One player who's scoring plenty for Zagreb is the Algerian player Hilal El Arabi Sudani. He's got 6 goals in 8 games so far in the domestic division, and he also scored a hat-trick in the 5-1 win over Astra in the previous Europa League game week. So in good nick. In the last 4, that means he scored 6 goals in the last 4. Drew a blank against Slaven Koprivnica, but it was 0-0 in that one, so no one scored. So yeah, so if you're looking for a goal scorer, I like these away goal scorers.
He's a very good price, yeah.
2-1.
Yeah.
I think they just go, I'll stick these in at any price. It's like there's not going to be any goals in the game.
I know, yeah.
It's weird,
it's
isn't
crazy.
It?
For a man who's scored 6 goals in his last 3 games, 2-1.
Decent nick, isn't he? Yeah. You'd be confident, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And you know, Celtic do concede, obviously, you know, they have tightened up a lot, you know, of late. But, you know, they conceded to St Mirren at the weekend, conceded to Motherwell and to, obviously, the 2 to Salzburg, conceded to Aberdeen. Kept a clean sheet against Hearts, but they're in the Championship, of course. Yeah, so, yeah, decent price, 2-1.
Okay.
Sudani. Like it.
Like it. What's your best bet out of all of we talked about? Do you have one?
Best bet is the Liverpool, the Basel-Liverpool. Both teams score in the first half, 100-30. Like that a lot.
Okay. Good stuff.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Lee.
What's your best bet?
My best bet is...
Don't say it's El Arbi Hilal Sudani. Because that's the last one that I've said. Yeah, you can if you want.
I'm just going to go with the last thing that was mentioned.
you can't remember any of the
I can't remember what's happened. I quite like... If you give me a minute...
Yeah, no, we've got time.
We can obviously edit this to shorten it down.
I don't even know what I'm whistling there. No. I think I'm whistling. Is that the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme tune I'm humming for some reason?
I think it is, yeah. I would go with Tottenham to win and under 2.5 goals.
Nice.
11-4, I believe it is.
All right, yeah. I can see that. I like that.
Yeah.
I can see a 1-0 or a 2-0.
Yeah.
Is it 11-4? Tottenham to win? Yes, it is. Tottenham to win under 2.5 goals. Like it.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay, thanks, Lee. Good luck. And there you go, the thoughts of Lee Phelps on the midweek European football. More to come from the Champions League and the Europa League. You'll obviously hear all of the action on In Play Radio as well throughout the week. And if you're having a bet, good luck with your selections and enjoy this week's football.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.